Welcome to the podcast, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, with Brother Eric John Phelps today, on September 11th, 2025, the 24th anniversary of 9/11. That was an inside job by the Pope's American intelligence community. It most assuredly was an inside job. And so my broadcast today, or podcast today, is to show you that in the context of what happened yesterday with the assassination of Charlie Kirk, this was most assuredly a government black op run by the Pope's Unified American Intelligence Community, overseen by certain Knights of Malta, and ultimately overseen by the Jesuit order that runs this country. So, to begin with, we need to go back into history a little bit and review what the Jesuits have done here in America. Remember, as I've taught you in the past, the Jesuits determined to take the United States back in 1852 with their most notable meeting in Buffalo, New York, as reported in Charles Chiniki's work. Father Chiniki, who later became a Christian man, he got saved, and a Protestant, and a Bible believer. He recorded there in his book, 50 Years in the Church of Rome, that at the meeting in Buffalo, the Jesuits absolutely intended to take the United States, to conquer the United States, and to lay them at the feet of the Pope of Rome for his purposes, that he might use the United States as his world power to reduce all nations to the political power or temporal power of the Pope of Rome. So, time goes on. We have the war between the states. We have the decimation of the white Protestant South, and many black Baptist Christians will die also. The war was not fought to preserve slavery. It was fought to prevent centralization of power in Washington. The South lost, thanks to the treason of Robert E. Lee in betraying his Southern armies at Gettysburg. And as a result, the South loses, and on the ruins of the war, the Jesuits used their tools, such as Thaddeus Stevens, to impose the 14th Amendment, which was never ratified by three-quarters of the states. And that 14th Amendment would make citizenship national for the whites, and it would confer national citizenship on the blacks. The 14th Amendment was not just for the blacks. It was for both blacks and whites. The blacks would be given a citizenship, or be made citizens, and the whites would be reduced from federal citizenship to national citizenship. And that was the purpose of the war, to centralize power in Washington, because when you create a national citizenship, you create a national government. And so, on July 28, 1868, the United States entered into its Second Republic. The Second Republic is a national republic, and the privileges and immunities of the citizenship of the new national republic of the 14th Amendment do not include the Bill of Rights, pursuant to the Slaughterhouse Cases of 1873, Maxwell versus Dow of, 1899, and Twining versus New Jersey of 1908, thereabouts. So remember, rights limit powers. You lose your rights, the government gains power. You secure your rights, you keep the government at bay where it's supposed to be. Because as George Washington said, government is like fire. It can either be a dangerous servant or a fearful master. And there was a book written called The Fearful Master by Griffin of the Birch Society many years ago. I recommend you read it. So, we have the National Republic created in 1868 on March 9th, 1933. We have this National Republic put under emergency war powers military government. And the Jesuits, particularly Edmund A. Walsh, was the leading hand behind this from Georgetown University. He controlled Franklin Damnable Roosevelt, who was the one who put forth Proclamation 2039 on March 6, 1933, which was a Monday. And on March 9th, on Thursday, he puts forth Proclamation 2040 that continues Proclamation 2039. And these proclamations are approved and confirmed by Congress with the Emergency Banking Relief Act of March 9th, 1933, declared to be ratified, declared to be passed by Congress when it was not passed either. And so since March 9th, 1933, we've been living under an emergency war powers military government overseen by the Jesuits, and it is the tool of the Vatican to wage war around the world for the benefit of the Pope of Rome. The military, the American military, is there waging war around the world for the benefit of the Roman papacy controlled by the Jesuits, to the end that all nations would be submitted to the temporal power of the Pope, the political power of the Pope, that all nations would have dictators, military dictators, or presidents that act like dictators, that would be subject to the Roman Pope, advised by him to do what they are supposed to be doing, or what the Pope wants them to do. So, the end game for the Jesuit order is to move the government, the military government, into a martial law. I've taught this for many years in my private American citizenship course. So, in moving the military government into martial law, the purpose of the order is to create a new right that will be administering the martial law. And so the Jesuits, with their left-wing socialist communist democratic party, have done many, many horrible, terrible acts in the last several years, last 4, 8, 10, 12 years, whatever, to drive the white people to desperation and into the new right. That's been their game. Joe Biden is the best friend Donald Trump ever had. So for the last 20 years or so, there has been the movement in creating the new right due to the left-wing socialist communist democratic policies, many of them involving Masonic Jews. You got to make the Jews always communist. They can't be conservative. Now, Mark Levin is conservative. And there are a couple of other Jews that are conservative. Ben Shapiro is conservative. But the vast majority of Jews always play the left-wing socialist communist extreme. That's what they do. That's what they're assigned to do. Many of them are Jewish Freemasons, B'nai B'rith. And so in controlling that faction with these outrages that these socialist, communist, Democrats do, they naturally are driving primarily the white people, the Catholics, the Protestants, the Baptists, atheists, whatever, into the new right. And one of the leaders, one of the foremost leaders of the new right, a great friend of Donald Trump, and remember, there are many things that Donald Trump has said and done that are legitimate, based on legitimate grievances. You have to know that. And his friend, Charlie Kirk, was one of his greatest supporters. Charlie Kirk was eloquent. He was well-versed on a host of topics. He was an excellent debater. And he was probably the foremost speaker for the new right. Charlie Kirk was a member of the Council for National Policy, which has been at the top, the major group leading to the establishment of a new right government. I had an attorney friend years ago, Jim Clymer. He ran for lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania. I was talking to him one day and talked about the Council for National Policy. He said, "Well, Eric, I'm a member." I said, "Really?" I said, "You need to get out of that. It's subversive right wing." So, Charlie Kirk was a member of Council for National Policy, actively building the new right based upon legitimate grievances. He was eloquent, well-spoken, and I believe he was a truly born-again Christian man. I believe that. He had some positions that were not really biblical, but in general, I believe that he was a Protestant. He was a Bible-reading, Bible-believing Protestant. But the vast majority of those in the Council for National Policy are not Protestants. And the leaders in the Trump movement that are members of the Council for National Policy are men like, people like Steve Bannon, Kellyanne Conway. And what are these? These are Roman Catholics. And so Charlie Kirk was of the belief that Roman Catholics and Protestants could unite around a common theme against a common enemy, socialist communism, quote unquote, whatever you want to call it, progressivism. And Charlie Kirk was probably the finest of them all in convincing younger people to join the movement. So, he was beloved, respected. He was an upright man. He was a moral man, married man, had two daughters. And so I believe this is what happened. I believe a decision was made that would galvanize the right, build it more than it could have ever been built through the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And this is exactly what's happening. These young people are flooding into the new right. And so this is why I believe they killed him. I believe another, and when I say they, I mean the Jesuit order in control of the CIA and the FBI and all their intelligence communities here, that they kill people on a regular basis, as Fletcher Prouty wrote in his book, The Secret Team. And so they carried it out. And if you look, of course, Charlie Kirk was killed. He was shot on the left side of his throat. Obviously, the round hit his carotid artery, and he bled out quickly. Blood spurted down his shirt, went off the bench, dropped his microphone, and it wasn't long till he was dead, probably within 30 seconds. I do not believe his death was faked. He was really shot in the throat. He really bled out, and he really died. There's no need to fake his death. They wanted him dead. Because in doing that, they're going to create sympathy for the new right by killing Charlie Kirk. And this is exactly what's happening. I find it intriguing that they didn't kill Steve Bannon. Why not kill Steve Bannon? I mean, he's got a program on, I believe, every day. Because Steve Bannon was Roman Catholic. That's why they didn't kill him. That's one of the reasons. He was not as eloquent as Charlie Kirk. Another one, why didn't they kill Kellyanne Conway? Now, she's, you know, just a subordinate individual, a woman subordinate to Trump and others. She's not really a target, but she's another Roman Catholic and a member of the Council for National Policy. They couldn't get as much mileage killing her or killing Steve Bannon or killing Roger Stone. It's another Roman Catholic. but they can get a lot of mileage in killing Charlie Kirk. And another reason I'm convinced they killed Charlie Kirk is because he's a heretic, according to the Council of Trent, of the Jesuit order, according to the Jesuit oath, according to the doctrines of Thomas Aquinas, and Summa Theologica with J.D. Vance was reading and got converted to Catholicism. And according to Aquinas, it's no murder to kill a heretic. Well, Charlie Kirk was a heretic. Charlie Kirk was a potential threat to the Roman Catholic New Right. Why didn't they kill Candace Owens? Well, they turned that into a race crime. The black Candace Owens, Trump supporter, and a most fanatical Roman Catholic. So they're not going to kill her. All of these are Roman Catholics, most of them in Council for National Policy. And here's Charlie Kirk associating with them. I believe this was a mistake on his part. He should have never associated with the Council for National Policy. You cannot associate with the Roman Catholic Church over a common cause. This has been done in the past. One of the first causes was communism. The Protestants, Carl McIntyre, are going to side with the papists against communism. How'd that work out? Carl McIntyre was a notable Presbyterian preacher for many years. He was on over 600 radio stations in the 60s and 70s and 80s. I went to see him speak one time. I went to see him speak over in York, Pennsylvania. And I asked him a question. I said, well, Dr. McIntyre, what do you think about the Jesuit order? And he said, well, what do you want to know? I said, well, the Jesuits, you know, assassinated Lincoln and they assassinated Kennedy, as I proved in my book, Vatican Assassins. I said, what do you have on the Jesuit order? He said, well, I can check my file. Carl McIntyre was working with the papists and the Jesuits in the anti-communist crusade that the Jesuits hijacked with their graduate from Marquette University, who was an inquisitor going after congressmen and Hollywood actors many years ago. Mm-hmm. He later died a sudden death. So it's a mistake to side with the papacy against abortion. That's what the Catholics and the Protestants have done. We're going to side against abortion, which secretly the papacy's all for abortion because they want to reduce the white population of this country, the Protestants and the Baptists in particular, as well as Roman Catholics. So a maxim here is 2 Corinthians chapter 6, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Do not unite with Roman Catholics around a common political cause. They will usurp it, they will take it over, they will use you for their purposes, and when they're done with you, they will give you the Charlie Kirk treatment. So, Charlie Kirk was killed by a professional assassin who could shoot at 200 yards and may have a perfect neck shot, throat shot. That takes skill. I've tried to shoot at 200 yards. I can hardly see the target that I'm shooting at unless you have some sort of a scope, which leads me to believe that the assassin had an assistant. He had a spotter with a scope. May not have, but they got to get Charlie Kirk, and they got to get him on the first shot, and the first shot cannot be a miss. So I would venture to say that that accomplished assassin had a spotter. Now, because he's protected by the CIA and the FBI and other intelligence communities in the country, they're all working together, he's gone. The shooter of Charlie Kirk is gone. He'll never be found. He's being protected. And his spotter will never be found. And I noticed that at the some of the videos I was watching, there was an old white man there with short hair on his head. And he said, "I have a right to remain silent." This guy's a distraction. What was his name? I have it here. George Sim. He was a distraction, getting the attention of the cops while the shooters could escape. Remember, one of the shooters in the JFK assassination was a mafia shooter. He was in the storm drain. And when he shot, Kennedy in the head, because Kennedy was shot by the driver and the storm drain shooter at the same time, with a guy, this black guy that was out there at the street, putting his umbrella up and down. They escaped, and they escaped with a Dallas PD, and the motorcyclist went and put his motorcycle down over the storm drain and drew attention to the grassy knoll because there was a shot out there from there, and it was a smoking, so there was smoke, so they didn't use smokeless gunpowder to make the grassy knoll a distraction, while the real shooters got away, and the Secret Service agent William Greer, who shot Kennedy in the head with a special round from a .45, as rightfully taught by William Cooper many years ago and now further shown to be true with the Netflix series Octopus Murders, the third series of it, the third chapter, where the woman that's speaking there said when Robert Booth Nichols showed her the Zapruder film, he slowed it way down and showed the bullet going very slowly from the driver's pistol and hitting Kennedy's head. So what happens is you have a high-level political assassination. You have shooters involved that all escape. All the shooters escaped in Dallas. And you have a distraction in Dallas that causes people to take a look, which is a grassy knoll, and meanwhile the shooters escape. So we have a distraction here. I think the distraction is this George Sim. He can be a distraction. This woman would said, "How dare you? How dare you?" It's all a distraction. This is a black op. This is a government shooting. And there was a guy, one of my supporters sent me another video, and it's taking a video of Charlie Kirk from his left. And there's a white guy, an older white man with a white hat on and a white shirt, and he's giving signs. He's touching his hat twice. He's touching the lower, like his collarbone once and hat twice. He's given signs, and I maintain he's making those signs to somebody. Could it be the shooter? Whatever it was, whatever signs he was giving it to somebody. So, the shooter escapes. In the melee that follows, the children running away, the adolescents running away, instead of standing their ground and saying, "You know what, I want to know who did the shooting, I want to know where it shot from, and I'm going to that direction, because all they can do is kill me too. I want to go see who did this." So they're running away, they're screaming, they're yelling, and so in this melee, the shooter and his spotter probably go their separate ways and escape. He's gone. They're gone. They're never going to be caught because it's a government op. That also means they have the protection of the press. The press will never, ever report any sort of a shooter. I mean, we went through this Trump shooting in Butler, Pennsylvania here, when Trump was never shot. As racist and as bigoted as Joy Reid is, she was right about Trump not being shot. She was right, and she lost her program shortly thereafter when she said that. Now, I can't stand the left-wing socialist, communist, progressive, feminist wench that she is, racist that she is, but she said something that was correct. And you got to give her credit. So Trump was never shot in the ear, never. There was no blood on his hand when he looked at it. And the Secret Service agent down there put some little blood on his ear and made him look like he was shot. And then we can have a photo op where Trump can raise his fist and fight, fight, fight. And we have the invincible Donald Trump. I mean, that's another op. They're building their dictator. They're building their man that's the savior, the great white hope. They're building him. And they're building him through the assassination of Charlie Kirk also. I find it intriguing. And they would kill a Protestant, not a Catholic. Now, they've killed Catholics before. They killed Catholic JFK. But in this instance, he's a Protestant. He's a heretic. If you go back into history and you take a look at the Nazi hunters, when they found Mengele and Eichmann in South America, they captured Eichmann, but Roman Catholic Mengele, they let him go. Eichmann was a Lutheran. So we'll capture Eichmann and we'll try to blame the entire Holocaust on a colonel in the SS named Adolf Eichmann because he was a Lutheran, apostate Lutheran, but a Lutheran nonetheless. So I maintain also, if I was to do this investigation, you always have to ask who benefits. And Trump benefits from this. The new right benefits from this. And so I would be interrogating, I would be questioning Trump. I'd be questioning the head of the CIA. I'd be questioning the head of the FBI. I'd be questioning all these guys because you know what? The new right is going to benefit. And therefore, there has to be somebody who knows what happened here that you can question who's going to benefit. And maybe he might talk. The other thing we need to remember is in the context of the immediate present, we can't forget the Epstein files. Now, we know Trump is mentioned in the Epstein files. But one day, Pam Bondi, the attorney general, comes out and says, can't find him. Dan Bongino and Kash Patel say, we're of the opinion that the Epstein files don't exist. So they lied. And Dan Bongino, I'm impressed with him. He's not a liar, but he's just another Roman Catholic. And these Roman Catholics love political power, and they're going to do what they're told. You get a Bible-believing man of God there, and he's not going to do what he's told. He's going to hold to the truth, no matter if he loses his job or loses his life. And that's the problem when people read the Bible. They lose their fear of tyranny. So this helps to put to bed the questioning with the Epstein files. So Cory Booker, the mulatto Cory Booker out of New Jersey and a U.S. senator, will now probably be given the order, you're going to stop your questioning on the Epstein files because we have a more important matter here, and that's the assassination of Charlie Kirk. You watch. Cory Booker is not going to be talking about the Epstein files any longer. I do not believe. If he does, good for him. But they have to get that out of the limelight because the Jesuits are not going to lose Trump over the many years that they've groomed him and built him to lose him over some sexual misbehavior and sin at Epstein Island. It's not going to happen. So we need a distraction to turn the attention of the people away to this assassination of Charlie Kirk. And then, when they can't find the shooter, why, that even aggrieves everybody that much more. Why can't you find him? When are you going to find the shooter? And so it puts more pressure on Kash Patel and others, the attorney general, to find him. And so we're going to waste time and effort. And in the meantime, something else is going to happen here shortly, I imagine, that will further bring the attention away from the Epstein files because Trump must be preserved. He has a very important purpose for the Jesuits in the next 3 years, and he cannot lose his presidential office, and the people in Congress cannot be honing in on him with a legitimate grievance like the Epstein files. So, it would not surprise me that we have a detonation at the Capitol in the not too distant future. A detonation that will be blamed on Iran, as I've said for 20 years. When this detonation of the Capitol, which there was a series on with Kiefer Sutherland, sole survivor. The first episode is a bomb blast in the Capitol building. The Jesuits are always telling us what they're going to do. And so it wouldn't surprise me if there was a big bomb blast in the Capitol building and then a determination to move the Capitol, then Trump can suspend Congress because Congress has proven itself to be ineffective. And so Congress can be suspended by Trump, the Capitol moved to Denver, the Denver airport's in place, the Capitol's in place, you have underground facilities all throughout the area from Colorado Springs to Denver. And then with this detonation that will be caused by the intelligence community here, they can blame Iran for it. It's like they blamed Osama bin Laden for 9/11 when he had nothing to do with it. They can blame Iran for that and then launch a whole-scale war against Iran to completely neutralize the Shia to the benefit of the papacy, because the papacy can't stand the Shia, and they created the Sunnis, and so they're going to get the Shia out of the way because Iran is the world capital for Shia Islam. Not that I'm in sympathy for it. It's another satanic religion that denies the deity of Christ. But nonetheless, to kill them when they didn't plant this bomb? So there's a whole bunch of things in play here. The Jesuits have many strings to their bow. And it's my prayer that there will be praying people that know the Lord and seek the Lord and ask the Lord to show us what happened and to bring out men who know the truth, that they would tell the truth, and to set back this Jesuit design against America, against apostate Protestant white America, to be driven into the new Roman Catholic Rite, where there will be roundups, the opening of the FEMA camps, the 600 of them that were established by Oliver North and Ronald Reagan in the 1980s. It's called Rex 84. Those camps are ready to be filled with the roundups. We have 110,000 mobile guillotines at certain army bases. They will be brought out when the Civil War, probably a race war, happens, because the blacks have been waging a race war against the white people for the last 60 years since the Civil Rights Movement. And finally, we have this black fatigue, and white people have had enough, and they're going into the new right, and they're going to start fighting back because they're all armed for the most part. And now we have a civil war going on in the major cities, and now Trump can say, all right, I'm calling out the military in Chicago and all these cities. We're going to round up these people, and we're going to cut off their heads with the guillotines, and we're going to throw them in these plastic coffins that'll have room for four bodies each. And in the meantime, there'll be those that'll be rounded up and sent to the camps. And there's a huge FEMA camp outside of Anchorage, Alaska, with 1 million acres. All of this was set up by the Republicans in the 1980s in anticipation of martial law. I mean, the Democrats helped them out because they all worked together. But Oliver North, the great patriot, Knight of Malta, Ronald Reagan, Knight of Malta, made a knight in, 1989? I've seen it when they ushered him into the knighthood there with J. Peter Grace at Waldorf Astoria. I mean, what's going to happen, I maintain, is that Trump will be further empowered through the murder, through the assassination of Charlie Kirk, because it's an inside job of the intelligence community. They used a high-level assassin to shoot Kirk. A perfect shot in the neck. He bled out. He died. And nobody is going to get caught, nobody's going to get tried, and nobody's going to jail. And this is what you have when you have Jesuits and their high-level Freemasons like Donald Trump running the country under an emergency war powers military government. So in conclusion, I'm deeply sorrowful about the assassination of Charlie Kirk. I need to pray for his wife and children. And we need to pray for there's some man out there that will have the courage enough to tell the truth and not care whether he lives or dies. He'll have to be saved because he's going to have to die. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So bring it on. I'm going to tell the truth no matter what. There are those kinds of men, those kinds of women out there that will do it. And I pray that they would do it. They're in the know. They know who did it. They know the whole story. And they're going to have to tell independent reporters because you can't tell the press. You can't tell Fox News, CNN, Catholic Fox News, Catholic CNN, Catholic MSNBC with Lawrence O'Donnell. You can't tell those Roman Catholic centers who are running all these networks because they're working for the Pope and they're to cover it up. That's the order from on high. And if you don't do what we tell you to do and you try to be a true correspondent or a reporter, you're going to get axed just like the head of the Meet the Press was poisoned. Tim Russert, that Roman Catholic. These guys are playing for keeps. They're serious. They want their new right. And anybody that is truly effective in public speaking and the people are gravitating towards, and he's not going to advocate to the new right, he's going to be history unless the Lord protects him or her. And it's my prayer that there, the one of you out there, the one or two of you that know this story, will come out and tell it all and deliver us from going into a new right, quasi-fascist military dictatorship, which also includes the confiscation or the attempted confiscation of the guns. Because remember, Hitler confiscated the guns from the German and Stalin confiscated the guns from the Russians and Mao confiscated guns from the Chinese. Communism and fascism is the same system run by the same Jesuit order. And the Jesuits don't want anybody armed because when you have an absolute military dictator in control of the military, you cannot have an armed population. And so America is the last bastion of arms ownership, of firearms ownership, and we cannot give that up for any reason whatsoever. We didn't create a government to take our guns from us, or our rights from us, or our Bibles from us. We didn't create a government for that. And so in conclusion, I'm about 40 minutes into this. I have given my position on this, and may the Lord correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think so. The murder of Charlie Kirk is going to build the new right and further enhance the power of Donald Trump, a high-level Freemason working for the Archbishop of New York City, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Archbishop of the political capital of the world. So until we meet again, Lord bless. Maranatha.